Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome into the NBA Morning Deuce for Wednesday, April 21st. This is going to be a little bit of a different intro today. It's just going to be me for the first couple minutes. And the reason for that is technical difficulties. Yes, that'll happen sometimes when you're recording a podcast. Alex and I were recording last night. We decided to record a little bit early, as we do sometimes. Alex had some stuff, I had some stuff, so we wanted to record early. So we started recording after the Pelicans-Nets game ended during the two late games. So we reacted a little bit to those games as they were going on. Very little, very little. We mostly talked about the other three games. We talked about Anthony Edwards having another incredible interview, more quotes, the most quotable player in the NBA at this point. We talked about James Harden's injury setback, Kawhi Leonard's injury. And we talked about an insane 24 hours in Lakers Twitter that we talked about at the end of the show that you have to stick around to listen to if you haven't heard about it yet, because it is one of the craziest situations I've ever heard of on Twitter. Although I guess there's a lot of crazy situations, and this probably happens regularly, but for me, it was nuts. Although somehow the first 10 minutes of us just talking at the beginning of the show didn't record, or something happened in the recording. So as I was getting ready to edit and post this, I realized I don't have an intro, and Alex is gone. He's off the Zoom. He might be sleeping by now. So here's a little intro for you guys. We appreciate all of you listening every day. And this episode, after I finish this intro for you, will pick up right as we were getting ready to talk about the Pelicans Nets game. Right after it finished, it picks up as the TNT broadcast was basically going off the air. So enjoy, and see you guys on Thursday. The game that just ended, the national TV game, was Nets Pelicans. The Nets beat the Pelicans 134-129. No KD, no Harden again. And the news came out right earlier today that Harden is now out indefinitely, right?
Yep. I heard Steve Nash said he's back to square one or something to that effect.
Yeah,
he said that's not good.
He said he could be back for the playoffs. He could be back earlier. Like, there was no timetable. And they've been pretty much harping, all the media all day has been harping, these three guys have played seven games together.
Yep.
You lose LaMarcus Aldridge, which you barely had him. You've only had seven games together. Now Harden, and I'm concerned about, we talked about who's more concerning, like KD because of his injury, but I am pretty concerned about Harden because this is the longest he's ever missed in his career by far. I think the second longest amount of games was like seven games.
And it's not like he's had a couple different things pop up. It's the same. He tried to come back. He left in like 4 minutes in for this hamstring. We know hamstrings are tricky to begin with. And now he aggravates. I think the word aggravate was used, but something along the lines where this hamstring injury is setting him back again. So, I mean, if you're a football fan hamstrings, they take forever to get right. That's why I was so confused when he was brought back and re-aggravated. I mean, maybe he truly was feeling 100%, but I hope he didn't push himself back and put himself in a really bad spot here. It sucks.
Yeah. They still win. And, look, is this a product of them playing well? Maybe. But I would argue, having watched this game, and now I'm just over the Pelicans, there's no excuse for how bad they are defensively. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit. Like, they're healthy. They had their full starting lineup tonight. You know, everyone that is going to play for that team played in this game against a team missing their two best players, and they gave up 134 points in overtime. In overtime, but still.
No, it wasn't overtime, was it? No, it was. Yeah, right.
Are you sure?
On ESPN, it has it as just four quarters.
Oh, that's weird. ENT. Oh, okay. Never mind. NBA.com has like a weird thing where it says the network and then it says OT next to it. So I thought it, I was watching the game. I was like, I didn't think it went to overtime.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's even worse though. 130, they give up 134.
Right. I know.
In regulation.
Yeah. I mean, the Nets scored 41 points in the fourth quarter. And it's just like, you know, again, we keep, I don't want to like keep crushing Zion because he is playing great, but they're not winning games. So yeah. like everyone that's so enthralled with what he's doing offensively, it is unbelievably impressive. 14 and 19 from the field, 33 points, but they gave up 134 points. He had 7 rebounds. I mean, this team got out-rebounded 50 to 45 by the Nets, whose whole entire thing is that they are small and are a bad matchup for teams with big lineups. But yet Steven Adams and the most athletic player on the planet, who's supposed to be an otherworldly player, which I obviously, when it comes to scoring at the rim, he is. But other than that, this whole we're trying to make him into a point guard and make him more comfortable being a point guard thing. That's not the way. Like what, why, what are you just going to like reinvent basketball? Zion's a point guard. Come on. It's absurd, man. This team, there's fundamental issues right now. I don't know if it's the roster or the coaching.
I was going to say, I don't think we've been hard enough on Stan Van Gundy, and I'm not excusing Zion Williamson. I mean, there's just no way. Like, if he really wants to truly be a superstar in this league, this has to change next year immediately. You know, like mm-hmm. he can't be the best player on a team with the worst defense we've ever seen. But Stan Van Gundy, like, he's not doing anything different, right? Like, you can't just continue to be this dog shit and just do the same thing over and over again. It is the Nets. Like, I get that, but mm-hmm. I just.
Well, it doesn't. No, that's not an excuse. It's the Nets without Kevin Durant and James.
True. Allen. Yeah, you're right. It's Kyrie Irving and some good role players, but yeah, I mean, they're not going to have a long leash next year. Stan Van Gundy certainly isn't. And they should have, I had them pegged as a playoff team for sure going into the season.
Well, now they're
Steven
they're
Adams now, deserves a lot of blame. I think he's been pretty bad.
They're 4 games out of the play-in now. So I think they're pretty much done, dude. There's no way I don't think they're gaining the way they play defense. They're not going to gain 4 games on the Spurs.
Right. They're not going to win games against teams trying to make the playoffs because those teams play defense, you know?
And then for the second year in a row, the creation of the league to have Zion in the playoffs, he will not be in the playoffs because they didn't make it into the play. They created the play in last year. So Zion would play and they did
not accounting for the 8-0 Suns, right? Didn't they get to the play in or no?
They were. And then this year it's going to happen again. This is the Zion. It should be called the Zion Invitational.
It should be called the
Zion. And now he's with Jordan. These Jordan commercials all night.
Look, I like Zion Williamson, but you're right. The defense is a huge goddamn problem.
I know that, but again, and I'm not saying, I know he's a very good player. I know he's an all-star. I know he's probably going to be an all NBA player, but I do. But I, again, I think there's so many situations like this where if any other, there's so many other players that if they were scoring 30 and losing four in a row, they would get absolutely destroyed. They would. They wouldn't be like, well, he doesn't pass it enough, or he can't stretch the floor, or they have the worst defense in the NBA. But no, none of it's Zion's fault. They have a top 10 offense. Zion averages 30. So that's not Zion's fault. It's everyone else's fault. I don't think that's how it works. And then the other, he's only in his second year. Who cares? He's averaging 30. He obviously knows how to score. He knows that he's got to do the other things. He's a franchise player, man. Especially if your other franchise player, who was most improved player last year, is taking a step back in the pecking order of the team, you got to be better. I'm not saying he's got to be a better scorer around the rim. He might be the best scorer around the rim we've ever seen already. He's got to do everything else, though. We can't just look at the box score or look at the fact that he makes exciting plays and be like, oh, man. Zion's off the hook. It's everybody else. Is he less to blame for them being bad? Probably, because he averages 30. But he can't be blameless in this. He's the franchise player. He's the best player on the team. There's got to be some accountability when your defense is getting shitted on every single night. Every night.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, he's not blameless. Definitely not blameless.
Stan, I would say, is, like you said, Stan is probably, and maybe even David Griffin, because I do think, like, when you're in the front office, if you're watching a train wreck, you can go down and be like, dude, maybe we play Jackson Hayes, or maybe we put Zion at the five, or like do something. But I don't know, you know, like, or maybe like, hey, like let's like make up a Eric Bledsoe injury, you know, like something. Yeah. Now Nah didn't play, but offense is
not a while. Yeah. But yeah,
offense isn't their problem. They're scoring the ball. So I don't know. This became a thing of me shitting on Zion again. I've very much leaned into being the only anti-Zion guy in NBA media at this point. Everyone else loves the guy. I think if you could vote for a guy for MVP that's not going to make the playoffs, Zion would get it this year.
Depends if Steph makes the playoffs or not. Again,
that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But they're not going to make the playoffs. So no,
that's done. Yeah.
Anything's possible, but it's going to be tough because the Spurs haven't been great, but it's going to be tough. One of the other two games that's already done so far tonight is the Knicks beat the Hornets 109-97. I like this game was nuts in the first half. At the end of the first half, the Hornets were 13 of 19 from three. And the Knicks were 11 of 23 from three, or 11 of 22 from three. The Knicks ended up making 18 threes. The Hornets ended up making 16.
Which is crazy with how relatively low scoring the game ended, you know, like,
yeah, well the Knicks locked the Hornets down in the second half and the Knicks
only
had
31 points. He only scored 31 points in the second half. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's what the Knicks are. I mean, the Knicks generally, you know, the Knicks scored like 60 something points in the first half, or like 60, I think. Mm-hmm. They scored 60.
Yeah.
That might be their season high. They don't score like that. So it was just a crazy first half. But of course, like at the end of the day, like Julius Randle, who only had 16, and RJ Barrett are playing at such a high level right now that if, you know, they're going to be in the playoffs, but playing them is tough because they have two guys who can take over like this, and their defense is so good. You know, like, I know Heat fans aren't going to want to hear this. They're not. But what Julius Randle and RJ Barrett have been doing over this last stretch is exactly what I complain that Heat players don't do. That they play incredible defense, but their best players just don't consistently just take over at all the time, right? Just like take over. When your offense isn't working, just go fucking get it done. And Jimmy Butler has been doing it more in the second half, but no one else does. And they have Bam. Why can't Bam do what Bam can't shoot the ball like Julius Randle, but he can do all the other shit. Mm-hmm. He can more consistently be that guy. It's not about the Heat. But anyways, but it's, you know, because they might play each other in the first round.
Yeah,
they're fighting each other for that seeding. And what I see with the Knicks is like their offense isn't very good. They have some decent shooters, but ultimately it becomes Julius Randle just dribbling the ball, the air out of the ball, and creating for others and creating for himself.
And it's working. It's probably their best way to go right now. Because their defense is so good and because they're so limited and young offensively, like this, I mean, depending on RJ Barrett's development and quickly and Toppin, like it could be a different story as early as next year, but right now this is the way to go. Just fucking give Julius Randle the ball. He'll get close to a triple double every night and try to hold the other team under 100. That's your game plan.
And then if you get a night like tonight where quickly went off in the first half, it's a bonus because he's up and down, and Derrick Rose at 17. I don't think they'll win a playoff series, but they're playing really good basketball right now. The way they play defense, they're going to compete.
But they're going to make a first round series just exhausting for a good team.
It's going to be terrible to watch. Like national audiences are going to hate it.
A team with title hopes.
Not fun basketball. Not fun basketball.
A team with title hopes does not want to have to just slug their way through a first round series with this team, you know?
I say not fun basketball. And like, I'm not a Knicks fan, obviously, but I like watching Julius Randle play. I like watching RJ Barrett play. I love seeing Derrick Rose successful. So it might be like grinded out basketball, but I like seeing those guys play well. Like they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
They have fun players. Quickly, it's super fun too when he's playing well. And I agree. Eventually, Toppin, I still believe that Toppin's going to be a really good player. I know Knicks fans hate him. But of course, it's New York. I mean, if you're not an all-star in your first year, you're done. And then for the Hornets, so they are now two game. The Hornets are lucky, dude. The Hornets are lucky that the Pacers are a mess and that the Bulls and that Zach LaVine's hurt. Like the Hornets may end up keeping the 8 seed by default because the two teams below them are just as injured as they are.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, yeah, I definitely wouldn't consider them lucky because they've been so banged up. I mean, they're lucky that other teams have gotten hurt.
Although I guess they're not super lucky because they're going to either have to play. I mean, they're going to, if they stay at 8, they're going to have to either play Atlanta, New York, Boston, or Miami in the first round of the play-in.
Definitely not ideal. I just, man, every time I watch this team, I'm like reminded, like they're just so much better than I thought they were going to be this year.
They're another team. They're fun too.
They're deep all of a sudden to me. Like the Martin twins are not bad. PJ Washington's a good player.
The Martin twins are so weird.
They are. Yeah. Like they're just, but just they're, whatever, they're but decent. They're fine. Yeah. And then, I mean, Miles Bridges, solid role player, Devontae Graham, Terry Rozier. Like this team could be excellent next year, depending on if they're healthy and LaMelo Ball progresses even more.
Miles Bridges is a violent dunker. He might be the most violent.
Spring loaded. But
he's also like, I think he's the most violent dunker in the NBA right now.
Yeah. I would agree.
He is spring loaded, but also he comes out of nowhere at least once a game, with either a dunk or a missed dunk that looks like he's trying to murder somebody. Like it's every game now, which is cool. And and I talked about this the other night, they have the best play by play announcer in the NBA. He's just, I don't know if you, have you listened to one of their local broadcasts this year? I know you've seen the highlights.
Right. It all depends on whoever NBA's YouTube manager decides to go with. Like tonight was Mike Green.
Have you not heard any of his?
I'm sure I have, but
where he's like, hum dilly dee. It's like his go-to thing. I
remember that. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's your homework for tonight is go watch some Hornets.
Maybe
his name is Eric Collins.
Whoever's cutting these highlights must hate the guy because he never pops up on YouTube. No.
He's one of the most beloved parts of NBA Twitter. It's remarkable. I said the other night when I had Giancarlo on, I was watching the Hornets and I think Jalen McDaniels had made a layup in the second quarter that meant nothing. I think they put them up by 4 and I was like ready to run around my apartment celebrating because of the way he was reacting to this layup. You only hear it when they post highlights. Like people only go crazy for the highlights for Bridges, but it's all game. It's all game. He's like, they could be down by 7 with 8 minutes left in the third quarter. Not really a major moment in the game. if they get a fast break, even just a layup. Oh my God, LaMelo Ball. It's just like this guy.
That's a skill in of itself. I could never sustain that sort of energy.
Yeah. And then you got Del Curry with him, and Del like throws in his little like clever comments here and there. It's very good. It's very good. They're entertaining. And that's, I guess, it sucks. That's one thing that sucks about national TV in the playoffs. If they make the playoffs, I'd rather have those guys.
Truly. Yeah.
Generally speaking, local broadcasters are dog shit. There's some that are good. Breen is obviously good. Eric Collins, I'd say right now is as good as it gets. Eric Reed for the Heat is good. He's actually low key been an absolute savage on the broadcast this year. Oh my God. He just like very professionally shits on guys. Like that's the other night
too.
Like the other night they were playing Houston and John Wall's player option came up and he goes to John Crotty, who's his partner. He goes, "Oh, you think he's going to pick that up?"
That's awesome.
Which is like, if you weren't paying attention, you wouldn't catch it, but he does that. He just randomly, like mostly when it's guys who are like kind of washed. He did it earlier in the year with Blake Griffin. It kind of went viral. Like he would just destroy Blake Griffin, but like very professionally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if there's any other ones that stick out to me. Richard Jefferson's good. He does Nets games sometimes, or I think he does them regularly when he's not doing ESPN.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I just know he's been excellent on ESPN.
I don't think I remember any other ones that come up off the top of my
Zoom offs for the Sixers is great, but it's, I don't care for his, color commentary soon, but
okay,
that's all I'll say about that.
All right, the last game tonight that's finished as we're recording is the Hawks beating the Magic 112-96, and another Clint Capela game, and I don't even think he played a lot of the fourth quarter, but he had a double double at the end of like the first quarter. He's just like insane.
He's turning into like Andre Drummond numbers, but he's actually a good rim protector. Yeah. So,
but this is a pretty standard win for the Hawks, keeps them in the four spot, but the Magic stink. I will say like some of these young guys that the Magic are getting are starting to play pretty. Cole Anthony's starting to play pretty well.
That's what really all I was going to say about this. Cole Anthony looked fantastic to me tonight.
Yeah. And he's had a little run since he came back from injury where he's playing pretty well. Wendell Carter has been pretty good for them too, who I thought absolutely stunk in Chicago. So I know I think you were still relatively.
I just thought that we didn't know what he was yet.
Yeah. I thought I did. Boom.
We'll see. maybe he is a bum. I mean, it is the Magic.
This team is going to be one of those teams that, like, if they don't make any major moves next year, I'm going to like watching them because they have a bunch of guys that are fun, mm-hmm. but they absolutely stink. And if Steve Clifford gets fired, they're not even going to be competitive.
Right.
I think some of these games that they're even competitive in is because he's a great coach. But they do have, like, everyone in their starting lineup are players that I really like. Well, not Wendell Carter, but the other four are guys I really like watching.
Yeah.
Dwayne Bacon, Florida State. Chuma Okeke, been talking about him all year. Gary Harris, it's good to just see him play basketball because he's always hurt. Cole Anthony, looks good.
Roll Mo Bamba off the bench. I think Mo Bamba, I can't believe he's not as prominent as I thought he was going to be an immediate stud. I guess he's just too light, but.
I thought it was weird that they drafted him in the first place. I guess we should have seen the writing on the wall that Vooch was going to get traded eventually.
Yeah.
Why do you draft that guy in the top 10 if you have Vooch? The other thing, the thing that is interesting to me is like, dude, tell me what you think. Cause I can be honest. I watch Cole Anthony and I think by next year, he's better than Markelle Fultz.
Right.
Don't you?
Yeah. No, I think we've talked about this one here.
And they just paid Markelle Fultz.
I think Fultz could be a two. I do but not an ideal two. It is.
He can't shoot it though. He can't shoot. No, I mean, he's
not a great shooter.
I mean, it's gotten better because, but also that's relative to the fact that it was one of the worst shots ever.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, but we also know Orlando's not very good at constructing a team. So it would make sense that they pay a point guard a ton of money or relatively a lot of money and then have a guy that might be better than him up and coming. So that'd be on par for the Magic and where they've been for the last 10 years.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, we'll see. Hawks, though, they've gotten healthy.
They're tough, man. They are really loaded.
They're going to get the four. I feel like they're going to, I'm not going to say they're like locked in because they could go on a losing streak easily. And the Knicks obviously have won 7 in a row, but I feel like they're kind of locked in at that 4 or 5 seed the way they're playing. I don't know what their schedule is. Let me see what their schedule is going forward. Let's see. Oh, they have a tough schedule. Well, they have Philly twice. They got Miami, Milwaukee, New York. God, their next.
That is tough. Jesus.
Their next 5 of their next 6 is New York, Miami, Milwaukee, twice at Philly. Yeah, that's not easy. They got Phoenix still, but their last 5 is Indy, Washington, Orlando, and Houston.
Wow.
So that's an easy.
That's great. Yeah, they could lose 5 straight and then win 5 straight, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. The jury's out. I just think their potential is huge. Like, I think this team can be so, so good.
Yeah.
If they continue to play like this, this is the perfect amount of shots for Trae Young, in my opinion. And you keep spreading the ball, passing like they are, and let the loaded roster do what it does instead of just jamming everything to Trae Young.
Jam.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
And they might be missing who you proclaimed is their future best player.
Yeah, if he's
like, how good can they be by next year?
If he still has a knee by the time he comes back.
Okongwu, who I think was the 6th pick,
and Cam Reddish has been out too.
Yeah, the depth of talent on this team is staggering.
But that's also part of that's why I was surprised that they haven't pulled the trigger on a big deal yet.
Yeah, coming.
You would think, I would have thought they would have gone thrown whatever Washington wanted for Brad Beal or something like that. You know,
including Trae Young, right? Yeah,
or James Harden. You tell me James Harden doesn't want to be
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything, which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Magic City with Lou Will? Come on, man.
Yeah.
And obviously he wanted to be in Brooklyn, so it probably wouldn't have worked. But I was just like, they have the talent. They're one of the few teams that has the talent to make an offer for a star without having to give up 7 draft picks.
Right.
Because they have they've done a really good job of evaluating the draft.
Yeah. And if you put a superstar on a team with John Collins, Clint Capella, let's say they hang on to
Bogdanovich. I feel as though John Collins would be included in a trade.
I guess so.
Which is not the end of the world. I don't think he's a very good player, but also DeAndre Hunter could eventually be a stretch 4 type.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. Probably not. Ideally he's a 3, but
I bet you that move comes this offseason, depending on how they do.
But they got to do something, right? Because depth is only so important. Because once you get to the playoffs, you don't go 10 deep.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But they're going to be a 4 or 5 seed, it looks like. And they're going to be tough. But this next stretch is actually very important for that. So we'll see. All right. The other two games that are happening right now Minnesota, Sacramento is about to be at halftime. Same with Clippers, Blazers. Clippers, Kawhi Leonard's out for a week. You know, you've mentioned this a bunch of times. Everyone now is talking about how the Clipper, how the Nets have not played a lot together this year and this and that. You've said this. You've been saying this all season. The Clippers don't play together.
Never.
They never play together. It's crazy.
How many? Yeah, I would love to know how many games. I mean, Paul George, Kawhi, and geez, it's hard to even pin down who their third best player is. Like, we thought it was going to be Ibaka, but he's been awash pretty much this year. So
yeah. So we probably won't. I mean, we're not going to get into those two games in depth because we won't be here by the end of those games. So there's two things to get into before we finish. And Alex doesn't know anything about either of these, which is actually, I think, has become a rather entertaining part of our show, which
yeah,
is that
it works.
I follow the news and Alex doesn't. and then here I get to see his,
and I
get to get his reaction. Yeah. So do you want?
I want Anthony Edwards first. I really
you want
do.
Anthony
I
Edwards
already know
first.
What
I,
yeah.
Okay. That one's actually a shorter thing because the Lakers thing is just like, it's a lot. So Anthony Edwards, who has 16 in the first half, by the way, today against Sacramento, who, and the T-Wolves have 71 points with a minute and a half left. D'Angelo Russell has 23 in the first half. So Anthony Edwards, who we is very well established, we love on this show, want to be friends with him. Maybe eventually we could get him on the show. I think we can get him on the show.
We tried hard enough, I think, yeah.
I don't think it would be that hard. He seems to do a lot of stuff. CJ McCollum just blatantly stepped out of bounds and they didn't call it. Good job, Riff. Did an interview with GQ. A written interview. So I'm going to have to read. I'm going to read the line, the first line of questions. It's a long interview. It's good. Go read it. It's a good read. But the beginning of it is very funny. The very first question. The very first question is, so you really don't know who A-Rod is, huh? And he says, well, I do now. I said, what made you change that? He said, everybody was texting me, telling me about it. That's it, for real. What did you learn in the last few days about the dude who might own your team? They told me he's a Hall of Famer. Somebody told me he's like Michael Jordan of baseball. And the guy said, I feel like that's a stretch. And he said, oh. He said, you didn't watch any games or highlights to verify that with your own eyes? He said, nah, I ain't watch none. Nah, I know he date J-Lo though. And the guy goes, he does not. And Anthony Edwards says, what? And he said, he used to date J-Lo, but they broke up. And he's like, damn. And I said, you look like you're disappointed. He said, yeah, I am. I said, any reason? He's going to be my owner. I want him to be happy.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
He said, you think he's going to be happier with J-Lo? He was like, yeah. There's exclamation points. That's why I did the excited. He said, well, when you put it that way, it doesn't seem wrong. He's like, yeah, for sure. The guy said, which other famous baseball players do you actually know? He said, I know like Hank Aaron, Barry Bonds, you know what I'm saying? Jackie Robinson, I know them. I said, so you know the black baseball players, which I thought was a weird like way of phrasing it.
Yeah.
That, but is the writer's black, Anthony Edwards is black. I don't know. Just when I read that, I was like, it's like immediately just pointing that out.
Yeah.
He could have named any three players that he's heard of. Like his right. next one. Cause then the next one he's like, yeah, I know the black baseball players for show, but I know Chipper Jones. He said, I know of him. And he goes, Chipper, I know. Now he goes, I know. What's his name? Freddie Freeman. This is crazy. He goes, so you know, everyone who's played in Atlanta. He goes, no, he goes, I know. What's the dude that played for Atlanta, number 22, the left-hand hitter? He was like center field or something, Richardson. And the guy goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he goes, and then he just totally pivots. He goes, I know Ortiz. And he said, which Ortiz? He's like, the hitter, the dude who be hitting home runs. On what team?
He's talking about Big Poppy,
yeah,
obviously.
He goes, well, he plays for the Red Sox. The guy goes, David Ortiz. He goes, yeah, Big Poppy Ortiz. That's his name, ain't it? Yes, that's his name. I'm glad we figured this out. He goes, yeah, I know him. Who else I know? Oh, Derek Jeter. Yeah, that's my favorite player.
Wow. So that's what, yeah, that really is the, like, how could he know Derek Jeter and not A-Rod?
And then he goes, there you go. And then the guy goes, Derek Jeter, he might actually have been the Michael Jordan of baseball, which I don't know if I agree with that.
Not even close.
And then he goes, yeah, Derek Jeter, fire. And then that's the end of the baseball questioning. But that was incredible.
I don't know if A-Rod's going to like that, honestly, because they had their own little rivalry.
That's it. That's the Anthony Edwards thing. I mean, there's there's so much more.
It's like the way it reads is like a 19-year-old kid who knows he's kind of walking on eggshells, like talking about his next owner, but, you know, like being too genuine to, like,
say, yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't want to say the wrong thing, but he's also just going to be himself.
The J-Lo thing is the best part.
Yeah.
He's my owner. I want to be happy. That's incredible.
Exactly.
All right. So I wanted to put that out there because any positive Anthony Edwards stuff always helps. And then there's this Lakers thing. So I don't even know where to start here. So, like, there's so much. I'm going to try to condense it as much as possible because it's like one of the most absurd things ever.
Very intrigued by this because it seems to be mysterious.
So there is let's start here. I've explained on here a couple times how NBA team Twitters are very strange places. And I've learned that doing the podcasts, and they like, I guess in a good and bad way, form like these very tight knit Twitter communities of people who don't actually know each other, but feel like they're very close to each other because of their fandom to their teams.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's very like, they're like all very protective of each other. So like if a Lakers person or a Heat person tweets about them and somebody says something negative, then everyone goes at that person. Like they're all, but no one knows each other. Or some of them might, but they very like seldom. I think that there's so many of them, but it's Lakers Twitter or it's Knicks Twitter, or it's Heat Twitter. Okay. So there's this account at @butterfly_424 that was run by a woman named Vivian Flores, 16,000 Twitter followers, very prominent Lakers Twitter person. Okay. There's another person named Josh Toussaint. And I'm assuming that's how his name is pronounced. It's Toussaint. Toussaint, something like that.
Sounds right.
He's another Lakers fan who co-hosts a Lakers podcast, or he hosts a Lakers podcast, something. They co-host a podcast, some shit. He's on a podcast, whatever. Not as many followers, but still has a decent following on Lakers Twitter. Last night or the night before, sends out a tweet. Hey, Lakers family. Vivian Flores @butterfly_424 is missing. 5'5". May or may not be wearing a wig because she's going through leukemia treatment. From Santa Monica. DM me if you have a lead or may see her. Love you all and stay safe.
Okay. Whoa.
So, of course, Lakers Twitter, everyone's sharing in this and that. Ice Cube's son, O'Shea Jackson, retweets it. No way, are you serious? Everyone, please retweet this. Anyone in the area, super dope soul. So now it's like all over. I think Julius Randle retweeted something about it. So the tweet starts spreading. And people start to question, why is this guy Josh Toussaint the only person that tweeted that she's missing?
Yeah.
Why hasn't her family tweeted anything? Why haven't the police tweeted that there's a missing person? So Twitter does what Twitter does, and people start digging, right? And they track down this person at Chumzilla, that apparently this person, Vivian Flores, interacted with on a regular basis in 2009, and hit up Chumzilla and said, do you recognize her, know her by chance? Because they wanted to know, like, who, the person. Chumzilla responds, it's a big catfish account. I went along with it 11 years ago to see how far it would go to expose them. They originally impersonated model Roberta Little under the name Joanne Peters. I contacted her agency a few times, but heard nothing back. Okay. Now it gets even weirder.
So hold on, let me put the Butterfly 424 account is allegedly.
So now this person is saying that this is a catfish.
Okay. Person.
Then in a Twitter Spaces session of Twitter Spaces is like an audio discussion on Twitter. People are talking to each other. They don't see each other, but when you go in, it says your name. This guy named Kingsley, who says that he was in a relationship with her, but had never met her, and suspected he was catfished because she refused to FaceTime with him. Kevin Durant ended up in this chat to find out more about it and was confused and so this guy Kingsley got catfished by a dude or something like that. Like this is how big it got. It's insane. So then people started going back through her pictures and half, maybe more, are blatantly Photoshop pictures of her, of like this person's face on like different Laker fans at games bodies. And like legitimately just awful. Like you could look up, there's articles about it now. You could look it up. They're just terrible. And like, there's one where like someone took a picture that she of her playing basketball and like put it into Google Images. And a picture came up of like some Asian girl playing basketball right. that she Photoshopped her face on, like the exact same picture. So then all this is happening. People are like sleuthing and finding out this might be a catfish. Josh Toussaint, who originally posted this, tweets, Vivian has been found alive and safe. Thank you, everyone. And then hours later says, he just tweets, still haven't gotten a goddamn explanation. Thought I trusted someone and learned my lesson. Tried to help a friend I thought was in peril. I was duped like y'all and feel bad. I was such a pawn, such garbage, logging off for a while. Stay safe out there. You never know.
And that's it. That's all. That's the last we've heard from him.
Nope. No, it keeps going. So people are like, well, this is strange, right? This person was missing. Her family never said anything about it. The police never said anything about it. Josh Toussaint is the only one who ever said anything about it. And also Josh Toussaint is the only one who knows that she was found. Okay. People now start to begin accusing him of being Vivian, of being Butterfly 424. He'd worked with her, but had never seen her or FaceTime her, but apparently they had talked on the phone and she'd been on his podcast. So this guy, Patrick Claibon, recorded a portion of the podcast that she was on and played it. And it very much just sounds like someone's voice modulated to sound like a woman.
Wow.
And then they slowed it down to like get the modulation out of the voice. And it sounds like a man doing like an accent.
Oh my God.
So then Toussaint, now he has to explain himself. Right. And cause everyone's now accusing saying, oh, so you're Vivian. So clearly you're the guy. I mean, you're her. And he says her excuse for not doing video calls was because of her self-esteem in quotes. We've talked on the phone several times. I do my pods on the Anchor app and in the record with friends function. So I would send her links. This is one she kept saying was delayed because of a crying nephew. So he's basically trying to like defend himself by showing links that he sent for her to be in it. Right. Like,
Yeah.
And then
which is still possible, right? Like, okay,
I guess, but then he posted a video of chat of DMs between him and who is claiming to be Vivian's sister, but who was communicating with him through Vivian's Twitter account. Okay.
Okay.
And it was just basically like, it just also, it's nuts. They also found, this is a shit you not. Supposedly they found he posted at one point on his Instagram, a screenshot of him supposedly DMing with the Lakers official Twitter account, asking them for help, and them saying that, I forgot the guy's name, security was going to be reaching out to him to help.
Whoa.
But then people went online and found out that security person doesn't work for the Lakers anymore. So they're like, oh, well, he Photoshopped this conversation with the Lakers.
Okay. So there's your smoking. Like, that's, this guy's lying as much as you could possibly lie then.
So he said, anyways, I'd rather come off as a fool than negligent in what could be a life or death situation. I wanted to make sure somebody I really cared about was safe. Nobody died or seriously hurt. I got duped and I apologize for being the dumb messenger. I didn't address this earlier in the day because I wanted to confirm with Vivian what happened and I didn't receive that. I was also protecting my mental health because rumors spread like wildfire, no matter how accurate they are. Thanks to everyone who reached out with compassion. Okay.
Did he acknowledge the fact that this Lakers person that he's showing a conversation of doesn't work for the team anymore?
No. So then Vivian Flores responded on Twitter. Said, y'all be on your hearing the side of the story of one guy and then automatically assume he's right about everything, talking about the boyfriend who said he got catfished to Kevin Durant.
Chumballs or whatever? Was it
Chumzilla? No. Kingsley.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I have people on here that can verify who I am. I don't need to prove anything to anyone. As for me going missing, yes, it happened. I passed out from my treatment. Remember, he said she had leukemia. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about people assuming Josh Saint runs this account. Are y'all that stupid to think a guy going to talk like a girl on a podcast? Come on now. However, shortly after sending out a video of a woman purporting to be Vivian while holding a sign which misspelled the name Vivian, the Twitter account went dormant. And the Twitter account now doesn't exist.
Wow. So it's okay. It's Toussaint. It's Toussaint.
But then, so or this person, Vivian account, tweeted out this video of a person holding a sign that says Vivian, but Vivian is spelled V-I-V-E-N. Her name is V-I-V-A-N. So her, if it's a person. Then Josh Toussaint responded to that saying, why is Vivian spelled with an E? You haven't messaged me back. I'm being dragged down with you. I tried giving you the benefit of the doubt.
Well, that would actually be a brilliant maneuver by him.
And that is where we stand.
He's like, okay, this thing's going down. How can I convince people that it's not me? I'll be the first one to point out that this account is spelling the name Vivian wrong. Would be genuinely be genius to try to throw people off of his case.
I guess if someone is so like desperately in like wanting to run an account like that so badly that they've done a 10-year scam or whatever, then I guess, yeah, they would be clever enough to think of this way out too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is one of the most insane things ever though. And also not surprising at all because Twitter is Twitter.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around. So Ice Cube's son, who called her a dope soul, had been like, not catfished directly, but thought this was like just
everyone
just thought it was a legit.
This person had 16,000 Twitter followers on supposedly she's been on like other podcasts or some
that
shit.
That is wild, man. What a world we live in. Like what, like is he just get off on this person? Just get off on that?
I was also going to say this. I will say this. It is the insanity of Twitter. It's also like the worst parts of Twitter because 99% of, and I don't know this guy, so I'm not going to reach out to him, right? But 99% of Lakers Twitter in every place is like, everyone's so close. Everybody cares about each other. 99% of them are just shitting on this guy. Like this guy's probably never going to be on Twitter again. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine any of them reached out and were like, hey man, do you need help? Like, are you okay? Like, is everything okay? You know, like, don't you think like the guy like maybe needs help?
Yeah.
Like maybe there's something going on in his life that he's like pretending to be a woman on a Twitter account and lying to people for 10 years. I don't know. Like is anybody going to help this guy, or are we just going to bully him off Twitter? Is that that?
Don't think anyone on Twitter or on the internet really in general thinks it's like their responsibility to help this guy.
I understand that.
Yeah,
like, I know that, but like,
maybe someone did.
I know. It's like, I know like the initial reaction is going to be like, dude, this guy lied forever, or maybe he's lying, or we don't know if he's lying. And that's going to be the, like, get him out of here. We don't need him. But I hope one person reaches out and is like, just to ask him if he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Cause like,
you do it. You ask him if he's okay.
Josh, are you okay, man? Is everything all right?
You want to talk, man?
Can we help in any way?
Man, people like that scare me, man. Like people that like.
Right. He needs help.
Yeah. But I think that to me, if
he needs to see somebody and talk about this,
I don't know if that's thing that's reversible. Going on in his brain. I don't think that sort of lying is reversible. I think that that's sociopathic behavior.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
you don't think that like a sociopath can talk to somebody and potentially get help?
No, I think it's pretty deeply rooted. I'm talking out of my ass right now, but I don't think you can like cure a sociopath.
So then what? This guy just lives his life. Nobody tries. Yeah. Fuck, man. That's scary.
Out in the breeze. Yeah. Those people scare me. Again, I'm not, maybe.
You know what? At least he's a Twitter sociopath and not like murdering people.
Yeah, exactly. It could be a million times worse.
Like, let him lie about this.
Yeah. Maybe this
as long as he's not like catfishing people to get their money.
Well, that's the thing. If somebody's doing this, what else is he also up to?
Someone tweeted earlier, like, we should be giving more props to this guy Kingsley for admitting that he got catfished, like that openly going in Twitter spaces and being like, yeah, I had a relationship with a fake woman and I got catfished. Like most people would not have the pride to just jump on with a bunch of strangers and say that to Kevin Durant. It's like, hey, Mr. Durant, let me tell you about the time where a fake Twitter account, I was in a relationship with someone I had never seen. They called it a relationship.
It's and good for him. It's not that shameful because it's like, it's weird, but I don't think it's that rare anymore to have a relationship with someone you've never actually seen for a certain amount of time. If it goes,
Yeah, I guess dating apps are like that.
Right.
To an extent. You see the picture. I mean, but I guess she has pictures all over.
That's the thing. Yeah. The actual female face that was reused. Did they ever figure out who that actually is?
No idea. No idea. I mean, I'm sure there's more. This article is like 6 hours old. I'm sure by now there's even more.
Yeah, I might stay up all night researching this then because it's really fascinating.
You're right. It is kind of scary. But it's social media, dude. Like, it was bound to happen.
Yeah.
It was bound to happen to NBA Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
NBA Twitter is not immune from the fuck-ups of social media.
There's probably a lot of overlap there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Oh, I told you, I said at the beginning of the show that this episode was going to run the gamut. It
covered just about everything. And meanwhile, the Timberwolves and the Kings are on pace to score about 300 points. So we got that going for us too.
Holy shit. We'll 77-74 with 10:30 left in the third. It could be an electric finish.
It could be.
Because neither team plays defense.
Right. Hopefully Anthony Edwards just keeps cranking up shots.
Crank that, Anthony.
Oh, D'Lo, 6-for-7 from three.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will. We'll be back tomorrow. And all right. Appreciate everybody listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Later.
Later.